We're going to read, starting at the 40th verse. Well, let's go ahead and read the 39th verse. It said, "And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's father, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. But when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." It says there, in the 43rd verse, it says, "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word?" And then in the 45th, it says, "Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Wasn't that the truth was unbelievable? It wasn't that they were in a position not to hear God, but it was because of their rebellion. We find here that Jesus, one that was meek and mild, is using some pretty strong words. We find that these very same words today, that if they were spoken in any congregation, that there would be someone no doubt offended. But we find Jesus saying, "Ye are of the Father, your devil, and the lust of your Father ye will do." Is this something novel? Is this something that we find that so many people read the Bible and they don't want to take it literally? They're saying that somehow that God is using a metaphor, that He's trying to draw a picture. But it says here that that the devil, that he was a murderer from the beginning. So I think that if you would, we could turn to the very beginning of the account in Genesis, and we'll find out what kind of a murderer he is. The Bible says in the first chapter of Genesis, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." We find that the devil come in the form of a serpent that was more subtle than any beast in the field. And he come and he spoke to Eve. And he said to Eve, he said in the, if you want to read it in the third chapter, I believe, we're going to start in the fourth verse. And it says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. We find that Satan, the Bible says in one place that he is the father of lies. We find here that, as we already read in John, that he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. We know that Satan, that he's come and that his contact with man has been to deceive. But we also know that in his deception, a lot of times, in order to, for the devil to get us to listen to him, he sometimes speaks the truth. Not the whole truth, but yet speaks enough of it to get us to listen, as he did with Eve. Because, the one that wins the argument a lot of times is the one that defines the word. I don't know if Eve in her mind thought that if she ate the fruit that she'd drop dead. But old Satan
knew. I truly believe that he knew that just what was going to take place. I believe he knew that that they were going to be separated from God. We know that God said, "Let us make man in our image." He said, "In our likeness." Now listen to me. Now let's. I want you to think about that. When you think about who God was, one that's holy and perfect, one that's righteous. The Bible says, Jesus Christ said that He was a murderer from the beginning. I want you to get a picture today of what sin will cost you. The Bible said that when the Father come together with the Son, and they looked at each other, and they said, "Let us make man in our image." There was a garden, a place of perfect tranquility. We find that God placed man there, and He said, "I'm going to make him in my image, and in my likeness." One that was righteous, one that was pure, and yes, one that is perfect, but not in the sense that he could not sin, but in the sense that he had not as yet. One that walked in the essence, one who had the righteousness of God, but to the point that he was clothed in it, because he did not know that he was naked until he sinned. We find here that the devil come to him, or come to Eve first rather, and he said, "I want to tell you a secret. You eat of this fruit, you'll not die." He spoke the truth in the sense that they would not die immediately. He said, "Ye shall be as gods, and knowing good and evil." I wonder if old Eve was there, and she thought about that. Well, God the Father comes down and walks in the garden. I've never seen where he comes from. I don't know where he's at. But boy, it sure would be nice to be as a God and to be elevated above this here garden. They didn't understand the tranquility that they were living in and what they were about to enter. But once again, we find that Satan is using words of truth to deceive mankind, because he said, "You'll be as gods." Listen to me, church. The devil and his angels knew good and evil. They had experienced that which was good. But they had chosen to do evil. And today they are gods to many a man. Satan, when he come to Eve, he said, "You were created in the likeness of God Almighty. But I want you as my child." Just as the Jews were sinful. And God said, "You are of your father the devil, Satan with the first of man, coming to snatch away that which was righteous, that which was holy." And he come to Eve and he said, "You'll be as gods, not as the gods above, not as God himself." For the stars of the Bible says, speaking of his righteous angels, but as gods of those beneath. The devil, who knew and believed and feared God, but yet was brazen enough to say, not that God did not exist, but that God is real, but yet I am above him. I shall place myself higher than him. And we find that that man is still yet doing that. I heard my wife ask my son, and I don't know where he heard it. But she asked him when he disobeyed. But she said, "Levi, why'd you do that?" And him being as young as he is, that used to be a popular saying. Not so much as it were as it is today. He said, "The devil told me to. The devil made me do it." Listen to me. If we would understand that when we sin against God, we take on the likeness of Satan himself. No son is more like his father than a sinner is, like the devil. And you take him to the end. You say, "Wait a minute, Daryl. I've sin. I'm a sinner. I ain't like the devil. I want to tell you, just because a liar tells the truth, I don't make him honest. Just because an evil man does good doesn't make him holy. He should have one of us. And we would see that Satan himself is a servant of sin. We often think that the devil that he created sin. But sin is a force that persuaded even Satan himself in his rebellion that he could be as God. And yet still yet men do it today. That's why we need to be ever diligent with our children. Because the Bible says in Proverbs, I think it's the 22nd chapter, that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But a rod of correction will drive it far from him. If a rod of correction will drive foolishness from a child, if we are faithful, they'll see that rebellion will soon to follow. Have you ever seen a kid? It is utter foolishness for a 20-some pound kid that will tell his parents, I'm going to do this and I ain't going to do that. But is it really? Well, that child has been instructed. The Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. But yeah, we're training children every day. Not in the way, it's not the train of a child in the way he go or let him alone. But yeah, everything we do or what we refrain from doing is teaching that kid. But maybe not in the way he should go. But my God, in the way he shouldn't go. That's why a rod of correction will drive rebellion from the heart of the child. Not because they make you angry. Not because they've embarrassed you. Not because you ain't going to be told from a child what to do. But because the sin is of the devil. And rebellion was the first sin. And because it is such an awful beast, we do it because it's a commandment. And we fear what will be the end result. We live in a culture today. Look at what we've seen this week. We're a man. Though he wasn't born in the United States, I believe it was said he's lived there 14 years. And because some said he's depressed because of this or that. He's deranged line of thinking. He thinks that he'll kill himself. That's not nothing new. Listen, because of wickedness, because of what sin is, the monster that rages, that is not satisfied, as it were, with a little white lie, that wants to pull you in. As the Bible says, hell has enlarged itself. It has opened its mouth without measure. And so what does he do? He goes out and he kills 30-some people before he takes his life. I'm afraid to tell you, a church, if there's not a revival that takes place in America, you might as well get used to it. Why? Because it's sin following its logical conclusion. The end of what it brings, man. You can't tell children we're nothing more than highly evolved animals and expect them to act like anything else but an animal, a predator, a beast. And it breaks my heart because you see people, liberal news media, as it were, in shock. How can people be so cold? How can they be so evil? How on earth can a crazy person get a gun? I want to tell you, no, a son is more like his father than a sinner is like the devil. And if you turn yourself over to him, there's no thing that you can stop from
they were going to become. I want you to think, well, this ain't something good to dwell on, but I want to think, I want you to think for a minute about a perfect evil, a perfect wickedness. As we've already mentioned, that evil men, wicked men, have the capacity to do good. There's been some in the history of mankind that there's very few things that's even mentioned. They're so wicked that there's no mention made of any good that they have done. And I speak of good as man would measure it. But surely, even Hitler, Adolf Hitler, at some point opened the door for a little old lady. At some point, which the world would call that good, ain't that something? Some boy that maybe he gave food to a child. But the man was truly tormented by the devil, and he was insisting on the fire to destroy Jews, Gypsies, Polish people, all of those that he thought were beneath him. Had he not done as the devil did, he raised himself above God. He worshipped at the altar of evolution and humanism, and he said there is none higher than the Reich. And because of it, he was in pursuit of a wickedness so grave, of an infrastructure as no man has ever seen since then, a building literally thousands upon thousands of dollars to systematically, we're not talking about killing innocent people, as it were, out in some field and gunning them down in an angry rage, but an infrastructure that took years to build for the sole purpose of destroying life. That's evil. But I want to tell you, if you only would realize that when Adam and Eve sinned, they became children of their father, the devil. The clothing, as it were, the righteousness of God and His holiness left their presence. They looked and they discovered that they were naked. Listen, you say, Darrell, what are you talking about? Just read the Bible. All of those that will stand before God will be naked, other than those that are clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Listen to me. When you stand naked before God and you say, I was, God, I really weren't that bad, He's going to answer to you as He answered to the Jew. You are of the Father. You are of your father, the devil. Why? Because instead of believing the truth, you rather chose to believe a lie. Think about it. We live in a culture that a lot of people in church say, well, they just don't know the truth. And we invite them to come, and they hear the truth, and they leave, and we say they had not the capacity to believe. But you know what? The Holy Spirit has that ability and will. If you've ever seen a sinner stand and grip that bench, he grips that bench and trembles, not because he don't believe, but because he does. But yet, because of the truth, they choose to shut their ears. Because it's so believable, they
they choose to turn their back. There's a lot of people. There is an evolutionist. Not that creation was unbelievable, but he said it was incomprehensible. That it was not incomprehensible, but rather that he himself did not want to believe it because of the moral implications and how it would affect his life. He found comfort in being a believer that we just crawled out of some primordial slime. Listen, there's people so foolish as to believe God exists and believe in the Bible, but that the first few chapters of Genesis is all a picture, that it's not literal, and that God has chose to create us, as it were, through evolution. Ain't that foolishness? There's men that believe that. Even the devout evolutionists said, what kind of God would create mankind through evolution? One failure after another as they begin and try to evolve and fight for life. What kind of a good God? See where? If you're so foolish to build your house on sand, that he began to say, because if this were so, there would have been no first man. Speaking about Adam, because there would have been many of the first man, or I don't know at what point you called him a man and not a monkey. But yet, see the foolishness in him. But this was a man that was an atheist, and he knew more about God's holy scripture than a lot of church going folk, because he said, if evolution is real, I believe this man started preaching. He said, there was no first man, and if there's no first man, then there was no sin in the garden, and there was no need for an atonement. But I want to tell you, because Satan is a murderer, Jesus Christ needed to come. He needed to come and deliver man. As he looked at the Father way back there in Genesis and said, let us make man. When the Father come to the Son and said, I need a perfect sacrifice, I truly believe Jesus Christ looked at the Father and said, let us redeem man. Let the righteousness of Christ Jesus, the righteousness of the Father, and His holiness, shine on the face of the earth once again, in the hearts of man, and because my Jesus died and raised the third day, Daryl can stand today and say, glory be to God. My Jesus holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Which was the devil is not my father no more. But that I've been adopted in the family of God. Why? Because Jesus seen fit to once again reach down and create a new life. We find Satan is so deceptive that because so many times he speaks, as it were, like a politician. Do you remember, and not to get in politics, but do you remember that we had a president? And I don't know how you felt, but when I seen it, he was sitting there, supposedly under oath. He says, well, depends on how, what your definition of is. I don't know about you, but I seen a son of somebody, and it wasn't Christ Jesus. Why? Because
If you're not born again, you'll do just as Jesus Christ said. You'll do the will of the Father. And we've got little children here. Now some of them, I know it's true in my family, some of them have a tendency to be more rebellious than others. And I want to tell you, it's foolishness. And it needs to be driven out of them while you still can. You know, somebody will. I seen on the news, they had some black gal there that's worked in the correction facilities. And I guess, I don't know, I can't remember where the school was. I think it was in New Jersey. Don't hold me to it. But the school board announced that they were going to train their teachers on how to put on handcuffs. Because lately they had two unruly students. And they thought that we're not talking about steel cuffs. We're talking about not those zip strips, but plastic handcuffs. Something light that I guess a teacher can carry around real handy. And this woman said that it takes years to learn how to do that. And I'm thinking to myself, I ain't never had proper training, and I guarantee I'd get them on the young. But she said, it takes years to do that to a child that's fighting. She said, and if they're not fighting, they don't need them. And that was her answer to it. And I thought, my. Look, because parents have shirked their duties, teachers are going to have to pick up where the parents have left their duties. You know what? My people's in their uproar. But if it ain't the teachers, it's going to be the sheriff's department. If it ain't the sheriff's department, it's going to be the prison guard. If it ain't the prison guard, it's going to be the prisoners. Somebody. If God is so kind, God will send somebody to your child to drive that rebellion out. Or might He not be so kind? And He let that rebellious life follow out to a logical end. Think about it. You know, I've seen parents boo-hooing because their children are in prison. Lord, I want the church to pray for them. Everything will be all right. Listen to me, everything ain't all right. They's in prison. But what we need to pray is, God Almighty, in Your infinite wisdom, God who is in control, Lord, bring him to the hog trough. If we would pray that, I'm not afraid to say, that we would see more people that once and for all surrender. It's easy to do it now, ain't it? When you're small. If you're so silly as to turn the TV on during the day, watch some of them talk shows. They'll have parents on there, and there'll be kids, 6 and 7, sometimes younger than that. I just can't control them. I can't make them do. My wife told me about this show about some kind of nanny. I forget what it's called, but anyhow, they just got kids that are reigning in rebellion. You can go to some churches and you walk in the door and there's that whole air. Because see, sin truly is in the likeness of the devil. For the devil himself is a servant to sin. It has the same air, the same complexion, the same attitude. And don't deceive yourself to think that because you're not, as it were, living in perfect sin, for nobody would want to, that somehow that makes you not a sinner. But the only way that we can stand before God and not be as Adam and Eve were, naked, is to take upon the
righteousness of Christ Jesus. Have you done that? Do you want to? Oh, there's a lot of people that even get scared. Because, see, sin is that ugly monster. And when we crack the door and it sticks its fingers in, we have no comprehension of just how big and how scary that monster is. Because, see, sin, a lot of times, when it sticks its fingers in the door, they're so delicate. And they might have such pretty painted nails. But those delicate fingers belong to a beast that will swallow you up. Somebody said, "Is God up there writing your name in and writing your name out, crossing it in and crossing it out? Is God up there with an erasable ink pen?" You know, that's speculation that a lot of people contemplate on. Now, that's foolishness. Because it's appointed unto each and every man to die. And after death, the judgment. And Christ Jesus knows. Do you realize that if I was to say, if you've been saved, you need not to worry about it. You know the ones that will find more comfort than that, than anybody, are the ones that are playing church. Why is that? Because that's just the nature of man. Because they're not living in perfect sin. But if you're ruled by it, it's what makes you make your decisions by it. You find yourself turning to the ways of the devil. But when you're in trouble, you seek the comfort of the world. I want to tell you, you're not in the hand of God. Because those that are in the hand of God, when trouble comes, they fall to their knees. When trouble comes, they humble themselves lower than their present state. Let's get some song to sing. See, the world's got it all twisted around. They think you're either on the Lord's side or you're on the devil's. And because I'm over here on the Lord's side, or when I sin, well, that's a separate issue from when I was over here with the devil, because I'm not the devil's anymore. And they don't realize that if you study out the Scripture, that sin is a force that the devil himself is a servant to. And because you think that you're not wearing the uniform of the devil, that somehow you're not under him. Now, there's one that even him himself crawls and bows at. And that's it. Faith and trust in the Lord? Is He your Savior? Do you call Him Master?